I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Is Fika.
I do like a Fika, I do like it well. I like it hot, I like it, and I never say Fika not. Why would you say not to a Fika? You'd probably say no to a Fika, not to a Fika. And this is all about me learning the language of Svaria, and I can't even speak the language of my homeland. I'm Al Pitcher. Thank you for joining me. I'm actually having a fika alone. I've got a guest coming up. He's quite a spectacular guest, actually. He's a guy I know really well, and we kind of mess around a bit. Not in a loving kind of way, but we mess around, and we don't talk too seriously. So it was really cool. The interview I do with him is quite serious, and I hope you like that, because this part, you know, this whole kind of is not that serious. I don't know if you guessed, not that serious. That's how I drink my coffee. How annoying are those people? Apparently there's some kind of psychological disease or problem for people who get annoyed with slurping, you know, that kind of... You know, people who get irritated by it, there's a special phobia, like slurpy phobia or something, and you're not, it's something in your brain that says you can't deal with it. It's a bit like people, when they click pens or they tap their hands and stuff like that. These are actual live moments, by the way. These are not sound effects. If you can guess what this is, you win... 100 million Zimbabwean krona. I don't even know. I know they've just introduced a new currency in Zimbabwe, and it hasn't gone very well. And it shouldn't, because they've got Mr. Mugabe. So there's the politics out the way. It was a stapler, by the way, just in case people are emailing me. You only had that certain amount of time to get in contact with me, and nobody did. It was a stapler. So, staple this. I've been on social media. If you don't follow me on social media, go Facebook. I've got a little kind of orange flag one. And on Instagram and Twitter. And I think I've even got a MySpace. That'd be quite nice to get a little request. Did you used to request on MySpace, or you just followed them? Who knows, eh? There's kids on there and listening going, what? What's MySpace? What's that, Grandad? It was the start of everything. That's what it was. And I've been teasing some big news. And I want you to find out the big news. Here's the big news. It's on January the 6th, 2017. Actually written down 2016 there. January the 6th, 2017. Al Pitcher special. 1 hour. I think it's like 57 minutes, in fact. Of my best ever jokes. My greatest hits. It's called Fifan Svaria, and it's on at 22:30 on SVT1. It's the last Friday before everybody has to bloody get back to work. So you're going to be relaxed. You're probably not going to like your family. You're just going to want to sit down and have a big old laugh. Now, this is where you come in. Obviously, I need your laugh. I need the heartiness. I need that kind of...
to echo across this country. But what I do need also is you to tell people. So now I want you to start. Just tell. If you tell three people, it'll be brilliant. Okay? Just tell three people. And if you feel like telling more, tell more. Just get on Facebook. Get on social media. This is where. Because I'm not like TV famous. I'm not radio famous. Although I've got a face for radio. Joke. You guys have made my career by buying the tickets, coming to the shows, laughing at my stuff, listening to my podcast, liking my photos, etc., etc. And I appreciate that very much. So I really need to let's try and I mean, SVT buy the show. You do the show and they buy it from you, and then I pay for the filming. So it's like an SVT. They play it, right? But the production was done through my sources. Okay, so they will play it, but we want you people to tell other people. That's the way I think it's the best. Because it comes from word of mouth. It comes from you people. So that's my big news. January the 6th, 2017. Don't say that sounds like, that sounds far away, Al. It doesn't, because it's December already, okay? It's December. It's like 6 weeks away, okay? So I want you to be there January the 6th, 2017, SVT 1, 2230. It's me. It's Al Pitcher. I've seen the final edit. It's a fun. We recorded it in Stockholm in April, in April, yeah. And, at Reval, and I just put together the best bits of me. So please do that. And if you want to see information about live shows, you have to go to alpitcher.com. There's something about SVT. We can't promote shows while promoting other stuff. So if you want to, yeah, you know, people are not. And also, I apologize if I'm sounding a bit slurry. I had some dental work done. I'm sounding like Dracula on a day off, but yeah, had some dental work. I call it mental work, because the guy, wow, I don't think he liked people, teeth, or me. He said, oh, it wasn't bad. It's not good, but it's not bad. But what he did to me, wowza. And it's awkward when someone's in your mouth, okay? If you know what I mean. It's very awkward, and because you can't, I like to chat, I like to get a bit of banter going, a bit of talk, but you can't do that when a big finger is in your mouth, a big rubber glove finger is pushing your gums back, and yeah, and he said to me, so yo, do you smoke? And that's always not a good sign, because I've never smoked in my life. So he did some work. It's like, have you ever had a hot shave? They kind of, you know, they do this hot shave thing. I suppose I'm talking to mostly men here on that question, unless, I don't know. It's a open world now. Maybe some ladies like a hot shave. Maybe it's quite nice. I don't know. Thought it was a nice thing to say. Why are you turning it off? Come back. No, so you have the hot shave, and it's that moment. It's kind of like fear. It's like the dentist. It's fear, but it's a sense of embarrassment as well, because the hot shave, you think, oh, they'll kind of, maybe if they cut you or something, and you'd be that person, you know, that guy who had his throat cut having a hot shave, or that guy where the dentist brought in other dentists to just look at this teeth here, look at this tooth, wow, you know. And I was trying to do a few jokes, you know. I said, mate, you can't handle the tooth. Didn't go as well as your laughter that I just heard. So that's what's been happening to me. So I've got a really sore mouth, and Yeah, it's also strange because I don't think my pain threshold is so great, let's be honest. He said it'd be just like but getting like a little scratch, you know, a little scratch on your hand or something. It was a lot more to me. It was a lot more pain. It was my, yeah, it wasn't good. It was, let's call it bloody terrible. But I did mention this to my wife and she said childbirth and I had to shut up really. There's no point in arguing there, but, yeah, it was a trauma to my mouth. Also, we're going to have a interview coming up right now with my guest, Adil Faki. This is Fika with Al Pitcher. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for telling people. I know you've paused it now. You paused it. You went away. You went onto social media and you said, oh, Al Pitcher's got a special. It's called Fifan Svaria. It's his greatest hits. It's on SVT 1 at 22:30. Go for it. And then you're back now. Yeah. So thank you so much for being amazing. I'm going away to Australia and New Zealand. This will be December the 3rd. So I won't be here for a bit of Pepakoka and Santa Lucia. My family want to do Santa Lucia. I think we're in Brisbane at the time, and Brisbane's just been hit by a heat wave of 40 degrees. So that's going to be awkward when I've got the candles on my head and I'm going down the Brisbane High Street. Santa Lucia. That's what I'm going to do for you. Right at the end, I'm going to sing a Christmas song. Okay? That's what I'll do. The final thing I do on this podcast for 2016 will be a Christmas song. So you've got to keep listening. Anyway, here we go, folks. This is my guest. I want you to laugh on this podcast, but I also want you to learn stuff. I also want you to understand how it is. If you are Swedish and or if you're not Swedish and you've moved here, this is kind of a story of that. So, so I hope you enjoy it. This is my good friend, and he's got a cool story, so let's listen to it. This is my interview on the podcast with my guest, Adil Faki.
Daka, daka, daka with my guest. Daka, daka, daka under house arrest. Daka, daka, daka gonna help me with my Swedish test. Okay, here is my guest.
Okay, I am here. We just had a pepperkaka sandwich, hence the...
I still actually have something on your...
Have I?
Cheek, yeah, left side.
Well, that's going to
be... That's unbelievable.
Yeah, but that's going to be great. It's going to be great radio, yeah, though, isn't it? That you're... that is my friend. That is my compass. That is my... my inspiration. No, you're not my inspiration. You're my friend. No, you've inspired me. You've inspired me. It's Adil Faki.
Hello.
Hello, Adil.
Hello.
We've known each other for quite a while. My objective of this podcast is to understand the whole second language thing. So me coming here. So what I want to talk to you about. You were not born in Sverige.
No, just about not.
Just about not. Is that what it says on your passport?
Yeah, I wish. That would have sat on my passport, but it doesn't.
Could you imagine the hassle you would get in every airport passport control if it just said born, just about not?
Well, it would have been less hassle than I get now, but...
Do you get hassled?
Well, yeah, every time, every country.
Because you're on...
Because I'm born in Lahore, Pakistan.
But you've got a Swedish passport.
Yes. But that's not the problem. The problem is the name and then the place of birth.
Please, you're not going to reveal a big thing. You are a deal fucky, aren't you?
Yeah.
Take off your mask.
Here we go. It's me. It's Liza from the show.
You were born in Pakistan. You came here when you were 3 months.
Yeah.
Your family were surprised. They're like, yeah, where is he?
How could he come by himself?
Yeah.
But I was an amazing child. Could fly at the age of 3 months.
Okay, and then you went, you moved to Stockholm.
Yeah, you went. It sounds like this is a person. Like the 3 months old baby is walking around like, where am I moving?
It sounds like you're dead and I'm talking to someone and researching like a speech.
Yeah.
Well, but you're not dead, you're still here. And,
yeah.
And don't let anybody say otherwise. So you came here. What language were you speaking when you were 3 months? You weren't speaking, were you?
No, no.
What was your first language?
Well, Urdu and Punjabi, I guess. That's what my parents spoke. And they couldn't speak a word of Swedish, of course.
Yeah.
While I was growing up the first year. They started learning a bit, of course.
Why did you come here?
Well, political refugees. My father is still agnostic. That was during the 97-9. There was a revolution in Pakistan, you could say. It was a military coup. And it changed the Sharia law of Islam. And the people that weren't religious were, of course, not very, very in great situation there. Some people disappeared and jailed and stuff like that. My dad was also a poet, and he was a big supporter of Bhutto, who was hanged. The democratic chosen leader was hanged, and then the military coup came to Ziaul-Haq instead, and then a lot of people fled. So basically, they came to Sweden. Mostly because my father wasn't as religious as the other part. Oh, not religious at all, which is very unusual amongst people from Pakistan back then and now, of course.
And did you pick Sweden because it's not religious as well?
Yeah, my dad's best mate, who was also a political refugee and a writer, he came to Sweden before my dad came, because they waited a year in Pakistan still after the revolution, thought, we'll see what happens, you know.
Classic Pakistani attitude.
No, but I think first of all, you can't just leave straight away when you have a life build up there. When you have like everything settled, you got two children, one child on the way. One child was on the way. You have two children, good job, everything is fine.
Yeah,
all your family is there. I mean, that's everything is perfect. So I think you wait for a while to see what will happen. Maybe, you know, maybe he's not that of a lunatic, or, you know, maybe it will all disappear, some new guy comes, whatever. It didn't. So after a year, he went and he talked to his friend. And the thing was, when they were young, usually you were either very religious in these areas, or the counterpart was communism.
Oh, yeah.
So they were like young communists, when they were young lefties, Marxists. Wow. You know, super Marxists. Yeah. He had like Marx on his wall when he grew up and stuff like that. So his friend said, I'm in Sweden, this is socialist paradise, this is what we've been dreaming about, this is what we've been talking about society should be like.
Yeah.
You know, for the family, education, very much education important, you know. So that's all we heard, education is important. That's the English we
even when you're in the stomach,
very much that. Yeah. I think that's the thing, that was a mantra, man. He was like, he didn't have recording device, he just sit all night and just talk. That was tired, it didn't work. So, and that's when we came to Sweden, because they thought it would be great. So he came here a couple of months, 2 months early. When I was just newborn, he came to Sweden, scouted the area, and then we came.
So he came over here first?
Yeah. I was 3 weeks old when he left.
Wow.
Yeah.
That must have been quite scary for your mum.
Yeah, it must be scary for everybody back then, of course. But the thing is, scary for her, yes, but you have to understand back then, in Pakistan, these areas, they don't live like we do here. So he left to Sweden, but his brother, his wife, brother's wife, they're all children who are all older than me are. So they had 5 kids there. His brother, his other brother, my father's, my mum's parents lived like 50 meters away from where they lived.
Mm.
So she had her entire family still there. But, the you know, it's still very, very frightening for, you know, the maid provider to just leave. And yeah, you don't know where, what's going to happen, and during the time what's going to happen here. But he had to go there, and you know. So, but it all worked out well.
So he came here,
yeah,
said, oi, Skyped. He didn't Skype you. He just said, pack your bags.
Yeah.
We're off to Sweden. You got here. You started Dagis.
Yeah.
You were speaking Urdu, I suppose.
Yeah.
You were you Adil Fakir then?
No, I was I'm Adil Krishan Fakir now. Back then I was just Krishan Fakir.
Okay.
Which is the oddest name for a Pakistani ever, and never would ever anybody have that name again. Impossible.
Why is that?
Because it's a Hindu name, and yeah, in Pakistan, and we after separation in 1946 between Pakistan and India, which is a religious reason. They were in the Cold War in 1980 as well, and Krishan is a strictly Hindu name from Krishna. And so Krishan Fakir means Krishna who knows a lot about Islam, and my first name is Adil, which means the righteous one who knows a lot about Islam, which is an unbelievably
a few bit of heaviness on your shoulders there.
No, it's a stupid name for somebody who's very Muslim and don't dislike Hinduism. Read that name and will be like, what is wrong with you? Who are you? You know, so it's not a very...
But it would have been weird if you were called Bob.
Less weird.
Less weird.
Less weird. way less.
To be honest, from
funny
now
that
on,
you said Bob. You know why? My uncle in America, who left Pakistan when he was 16, he's American now. His name is so complete. He's Manzoor, and his brother's name is Mansoor. Unbelievable. They think it's different names. It's unbelievable. I was like, but how could his name be Manzoor when our mamu, our uncle in Pakistan is Mansoor? He's like, no, he's Manzoor. I was like, you just said the same thing.
Maybe they came out and they said, hey, come and look at this Mansoor.
I got two cousins in Manchester, Usman Usma. Are you shitting me? That's a Z and an S. That's the difference. It's like Adil and
Adele.
Adele, yeah. She's my favorite though. No, but his name is, he's called Bob.
Okay.
So trust me, it's completely normal. They call him Bob. I don't know why, because his name is Manzoor and we call him Marna, which is his nickname, which is even weirder. And they were like, yeah, Bob. I was like, who the hell is Bob? It's like, your uncle's name is Bob. I was like, sure, whatever, dude. His name is Bob now.
And then you spoke Swedish. You learned it in Dagis.
Yeah, of course.
Easier to learn when you're a kid.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's never been that I didn't know Swedish. I mean, for me, that's not there. And apparently my sister came when she was 8. She was 8 years older than I am. And she still is, of course. But she apparently learned what I remember both my parents' friends and my parents saying, that she was here like 3 weeks. And like 4 weeks into it, she was speaking Swedish. She started school straight away.
Yeah.
My brother was 4, of course. So he went to Dagis first to learn probably pretty quick. I mean, he just started to learn Urdu probably before. You know, he doesn't speak that much. But my sister, obviously, but she's a linguist today, so, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
So it might have helped.
And how many languages do you know now?
Well, it depends if you say fluently or not. But what you do realize is that you easily can connect languages. I mean, I speak Swedish, of course, my first language, I would say now. English, we did speak a bit English at home as well, you know, mixture, like most Pakistani Indian people do. Then with Urdu, of course, and then Punjabi. Funny, my parents speak Punjabi to me quite often. I answer them in Urdu. This is very common for us. Because for me, I didn't understand there was two languages growing up.
Is that just for you? That's not a normal thing?
No, it's pretty normal, I think, for people who have similar background as I do. Like, my parents are...
Is that like speaking Swedish to someone and they're answering in Norwegian?
Swedish and Danish, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Swedish and Norwegian. Or maybe you can say not whole sentences. We mix a lot. This is really weird. I mean, we speak at home... It's mom. If I speak to my father's friend, he will definitely use, if he's from Punjab, northern India, Pakistan, he will definitely use some Punjabi words.
Yeah.
Then he will speak Urdu generally, but then English will come in here and there, like in a sentence or a whole sentence.
That's the normal thing.
That's
isn't it? Yeah.
Completely normal. And because we live in Sweden for so long, he will also, my parents' friend will here and there speak Swedish as well. Both.
Do your parents speak Swedish now?
To me.
Yeah.
No, we never speak Swedish.
But they do speak Swedish.
Yeah, of course. I lived here 36 years.
Well, I've lived here like 8 now.
Yeah, but you have to understand, they had to learn it in a different way than you had to. Because you're English, we want to speak English to you. This was 80s, everybody didn't speak Swedish in English in older ages. Their English is, of course, not your English. When you speak English, you say, oh, there's a British guy, let him teach us English.
But when I go into like ICA, and I'll try and say something in Swedish...
Mm.
They go, oh, sorry, thank you, no problem.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm like,
yeah.
What?
My parents didn't get that.
No.
For them, it was like, they didn't even try to speak, they tried maybe English in a minute in the beginning, but, you know, people get like, why do you speak English? Learn Swedish.
What was it like then? This might be quite a broad question.
All right.
What was it like, a little Pakistan child coming here? Did you get shit from the other pupils? Was there a lot of immigration then?
In really early age, the first 10 years, I wouldn't say it was that palpable at all, because we lived in Märsta, which is north of Stockholm, a bit, and it's quite a... Back then, a lot of immigrants moved to from the mid-70s. So when we came, there was already quite a lot of immigration there from Lebanon, Syria, back then, a lot, especially there. Then some Pakistan, Iran, a lot of Iran, because same thing happened in Iran and Pakistan just a year earlier. So a lot of people were there already. So when I grew up in Mashta, it wasn't so odd because I was so young. So it wasn't like any Nazis or racists there. So I didn't notice that. In school, when I went, you know, there was so many, half the class almost spoke Arabic as, you know, as home, what do you call it, Hemsprok or something.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So it was all normal that people were from different areas. And nobody said, we were joking around with each other, but that was jokey, you know, Arabic, this sounds funny. They said, this sounds funny. We were kids. Yeah. But then when I moved to Norrviken, which is Sollentuna, which is a bit further south, more closer to Stockholm, we were like the only immigrant family in that direct area we lived in. In my class, there was one other who was Kurdistan, but he lived like a couple of kilometers away. Where we lived, it was only us and maybe 60 other families that were all Swedish, you know, ethnic and Swedish. And then it was difference.
Yeah.
That was a big difference. First of all, the area my dad wanted to move to, you know, because he wanted to have a more Swedish area, doesn't, you know, not as much problems as it was in the suburbs with a lot of foreigners because it's poorer, you know, everything. But then the other trouble was where we lived, it was a lot of Nazis in the 90s in Sweden, and especially those areas, the Plans Väsby, Norrviken, Utebro, where we grew up. And then south of Stockholm, Huddingen, a lot of Nazis. I mean, so where I lived, I could get off the train, I was 11 years old, and there was six skinheads, and we had boots, jackets,
the whole
package, standing in a small, small little area, it's like a village almost. Come off the train, this one Ica, this one kiosk, and then there's a couple of apartments, and then you have to walk until you come to houses. Yeah. You know, there's nothing else there. So that was a bit scary, of course. So I remember we did some stupid things. I mean, not stupid, but you had to. I mean, I was 14 years old, 13. I had tear gas in my pocket. Both me, and my brother, and my sister. Yeah, because we were the only foreign kids there.
Not tear gas.
Tear gas, no.
Spray.
Pepper spray. Sorry.
Not like...
We say tear gas in Swedish. Pepper spray.
Like tear gas. Threw it. There's like gas everywhere.
It was war, mate. It was war. I used to paint my face. Go with a machine gun and some tear gas. I thought, where's the napalm?
Apocalypse Norvika.
Yeah, exactly. No. The pepper spray. We used to have it at that early age. And I just remember now thinking that's insane. But
that
of course
awful.
We had to. Yeah, but we had to. I mean, it was a cup once or twice. You get like, went sick, even if we didn't know if they were going to beat you up or not. I mean, seven skinheads are chasing you when you're 12.
Yeah.
I mean, you think you're going to die for sure. So, and I remember I was with my sister once in the train, and we had some cousins from England actually over. And I was like 15 then. She was like 23. Well, maybe I was like 14. And there's a couple of drunk guys sitting in the train. I mean, just two stops. It's like 8 o'clock at night. We just showed in Stockholm, and these guys are like, "Oh, you fuck, you know, you bloody brownies and stuff like that." And then But I remember she was so cool. He just spit on the floor, and she was like, "You think you're so cool, don't you? You think you're so bloody cool now?" And she just said that to me. I remember that today because she always thinks that she's not so courageous. But you remember she was the only one older. We were younger. She said that, and that guy kind of got a bit stunned. She was like, "You should be ashamed," and then we walked off. And I do remember that. As it worked, the first time that happened, and I also saw it worked, and I just realized that that's the only way to go, really.
Stand up.
Yeah, you just need to stand up, and that's why I never understand what people say, like, how can, if somebody is teasing or criticizing or attacking somebody on a subway, and there's 50 people there, if everybody stands up, what can you do?
Yeah.
Beat 50 people up with his Superman? I mean, well, who is this guy? I mean, if he's going to beat 50 people, you know what? He needs to be in some kind of military program or something because he's awesome. Just beat up a whole wagon of people.
He only beat up 38.
Only four were senior citizens.
Has it changed though, Sweden? Because I feel coming here from, let's say, England/New Zealand, I really do, honestly, you know, my objective is to, and we both do comedy.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
But my objective is to kind of talk to my daughter. My son can speak English, but my daughter's, you know, Iris kind of stares at me and, she says things to me and I'm like, oh. But for you, there was an absolute must for your whole family. You must learn the language. Do you think that's changed? Do you think Sweden's changed like that? Do you think it's become more open to the English language?
No, maybe not. Maybe English. I mean, that's what I'm saying. It's different for expats. It's just it is. We can say no, it's not. No, it is. Everybody knows it. Who's themselves speak a second language, or even expats know that themselves. You all know that as well. That for you to not speak Swedish, it's not a big deal. People don't get upset with you in the same way. But I mean, this has changed though. I don't get this as often, which is super annoying. When I grew up, it's like, oh, you speak quite good Swedish. You speak very good Swedish. I'm like, yeah, but that's like my first language. I was like, yeah, but still. What was still what?
Yeah.
Still what? What is still?
Yeah.
I lived it all my life. I'm 20, 23 years old, whatever. I speak Swedish. That's my first language. I think in Swedish. I write in Swedish. Go to school in Swedish. Just one aspect. I just speak another languages with other people. Ah, but still. That is super annoying, but I always had a trick for that. I'm very correct in Swedish. Like if you say better than me, you say no, it's better than I am actually.
Yeah.
So whenever they say that, it's like, okay, sooner or later a person slips up, right? They say something wrong that is grammatically incorrect.
Yeah.
They will say that, and then I always pounce. I say, excuse me, this is the way you say Swedish. Or is it really difficult to be corrected by an immigrant, or is it just you know, because it's nonsense. But you hear that so often.
But even when we were in France. We went to watch the Swedes play. It was kind of weird because they, a few of them were, because we were speaking English, for my sake, and then they would kind of say something and you'd answer them in Swedish and they'd be really shocked.
Yeah.
Like, what? This doesn't...
The weird thing is that we, have you noticed when both of us speak English, they speak English to us, I might answer them in Swedish. And the thing that will happen is that they'll start speaking Swedish to you, but maybe still speaking English to me. And I'm like, I'm the one who said something in Swedish. Why are you speaking Swedish to him and English to me? I'm the one who said something in Swedish. You should at least speak Swedish to me and try you out, you know?
Do you think it's essential to learn the language? Or have you got any tips to learn the language?
I think it's quite pivotal for you to... Not pivotal, it's not a must for you. It's not a must for you. But it depends what you want out of life, I was going to say. Mm. I mean, personally, I think you can't get every nuance of the culture and, you know, everything that's going around you if you don't really understand the language. I think it's...
Yeah, I mean, for me, as a stand-up, I've also lost that... I was on the Tunnelbana the other day and I overheard...
Yeah, you can't do that.
I can't do that. I can't do, you know, and I read in the paper, you know, and that pisses me off.
Yeah, but for me, I'm under the impression that when kids are young, we should have like multiple language courses.
We should have
English should go from grade one in Sweden. I think maybe that's the case. And then grade two, you add German, Spanish or French. And then I'm literally being serious. I think that by class five, you should have at least get a feel for five languages and then you can pick yourself which one you want to pick, the three of them. I mean, why not? I mean, in that age, you pick up languages so quickly and it's going to last probably forever or most of the time, at least you can have a basic in it. Why not use it? It's so pivotal and important and it broadens your mind so much. You learn languages so much easier. I mean, I picked up Spanish because, I mean, I want to speak it perfect, but I understand almost most of it because I look for English. So for me, I can't understand that English people don't understand Spanish better and vice versa because I think the vocabulary is incredibly similar. Yeah. It's just the pronunciation that is weird. So for that open, and German, same thing. We know Swedish and English. For us, German, it's not easy, but we understand quite a lot of words. So we can understand a lot of... So I studied a couple of years when I was a kid, like 13, 14. And still when I go to Germany, speak to German, I can communicate a little bit. I can understand kind of what they're saying. And it's not like, this is not happening. We can communicate. I mean, a couple of beers later, you're talking.
And you do comedy in English.
Yeah.
Is that... does it mess with your mind?
A little bit, for the sole reason of rhythmic practice, I would say. That you knew as yourself, as a comedian, when you're used to saying a kind of joke in a certain way, after a while, it's automatic. You just say it and it will come automatically, whatever you're going to do. But if I do it in English, all the impulses I get a bit hacked, because I've done maybe similar impulses in Swedish.
So okay.
You can mess with translation. The words come wrong. Tear gas. I said that. You know, I might say that word. It would go like, tear gas. What the hell was he in Vietnam? What the hell's going on? You know, and I don't notice it. I'll just continue, and they'll mess it up for that person to understand. Oh, I said wrong, and then it's too late. So yeah, a little bit.
Here's my final question. Right.
All right.
Has Sweden changed?
In what sense? I mean...
The people?
I mean, of course, now when we see in Europe the right-wing movement, SD, blah, blah, blah...
Is that freaking you out? Are they getting bigger?
Not freaking me out.
Because my personal opinion is there's still enough sane people.
Yeah, I mean...
But they're getting sold a thing that's very easy to sell to them. Yes. And that's what scares me.
Yes, I think it's not great. I do believe that for me as a person, it won't go that far. Like people say, oh, you know, you might get deported. What do you mean deported? Deported where? Where the hell am I going to get deported? I've never had another nationality, kind of. So I'm afraid of that. But of course, if the general feel of society would be you walk around the street as a second citizen. Worse than it's ever been before. Of course, that's not good. I don't believe it will go that far, because whatever happens, I never believe that 50% of Swedish population will start hating me. You know, I don't believe that.
And, no.
I don't think so. And even if a lot of people jump on this wagon with immigration or whatever, which I think is wrong that they do, and I don't think in the long run that gives you good social construction for our children, or, you know, imagine that what is right or wrong, or for your kids to grow up to believing that women are not as good as men and stuff like, or that dark people are not as good as... Of course, these are negative things. But for me, imminently, I don't believe it will be that. But the good thing that has changed with SD, and this is the only... If you try to find something positive with it, is that when me growing up, it was always that I'm still an immigrant, you know. I'm still an invandrare.
Yeah.
Even when I was 24... 22 with Swedish friends that grew up with me all my life, still my heritage is Pakistan or Indian, you know. Indian, I'm not Swedish. After SD came in, now that has changed. They don't ask, I don't get the question anymore, where you from, as often as before. It was the first question. Blah, 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 what do you do? Oh, where are you from? Just so I know where I can put you, what bracket I can put you in.
That was my first question as well, don't forget.
Yeah, you see. I used to always say from Stockholm, just to, you know, see what the reaction was. And they said, no, I mean, oh, you mean where my parents are from? And they used to say, but now usually that question doesn't come. And you see way more people like on Facebook and whatever going in and saying that they are like anti this, you know, we're all together. This is, he's Swedish. That never happened before. Whatever people say like, no, I've always been that way. Or, well, never around me. I've never felt that before. I've never heard that before. People say it that way. So if you're going to take the positive out of it, that's definitely the positive. And that's what I'm saying. I'm not worried that all people will change, because I see the people that are so strictly against it. So it's polarized Sweden, and that might not be good.
Yeah.
And some people like it, though. I've met people say, like, I hate this coward racism. They sit and go home and talk shit about it. I'd rather say they spit into my face. I was like, no way. I don't want that.
Yeah.
That's terrible. I mean, if I pass 25 people don't like me, but they don't say it, you know, my day is not ruined.
You know,
but if they consequently, whenever I walk the street, make a fuss out of it, after a while, your day starting to get ruined more often for no reason. And sometimes people don't understand that. When you had like a really bad patch of bad luck, people are saying that too often, then it's crappy.
This show is called Fika Mid Our Pitcher. You don't drink coffee.
No.
How do you survive in this country?
I don't like coffee. What's wrong with? I got ADHD, man. I don't care about caffeine.
You don't need caffeine
for energy? Nah, not for energy. I wake up and take. I can have slept 3 hours, take a shower, and I'm done. I'm good. I'm good to go.
There we go. Phone calls come through, mate. That's
the hospital.
All happening for you.
Yeah. That's the hospital.
Wondering where you are.
They've been looking for me for the past 7 days.
I've known you a long time. This is probably the most serious we've ever chatted, and I've really enjoyed it. So thanks, mate. No, I mean it. Look, thank you.
It feels awkward, but fine.
Really?
No.
I really enjoyed it.
It's not. It doesn't. I feel awkward. You saying you being so normal, looking at me and being so. This is the most serious thing we've ever done. It's true, though.
No, it's going to be. Yeah, but it's going to be like stop and then locker room talk and everything. But this bit where we recorded, I didn't know half that stuff, so it's great.
You did?
No.
Which things didn't you know?
I didn't know that you were a deal fucky and then you were Krishnan.
And you know how that routine on stage, the Krishnan routine.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But then you had the butt thing as well.
Yeah, but that's just the name. When I go to the Pakistan. When I land there and they look at me, are you a Hindu spy? A division. That joke.
Yeah. But fucky.
Yeah, but it's unfortunate surnames, yeah.
Yeah.
My father's name is, surname is fucky, of course.
Yeah.
And my mother, before she got married, was butt. So if they would have got divorced in Swedish tradition, it would have been butt fucky.
There we go, you see?
Worst part is my father's real family name was Ulla. And in Sweden, that rhymes with you know what. So it was really bad choices. Ulla, fucky, and butt. You know, it's just. Just like a party of bad names. It's just
why didn't they call you Bob? Because that name had been taken.
Bob would have been fine.
Yeah. Thanks a lot, mate.
Thank you.
Thank you. Let's just put our one coffee cup onto an empty coffee cup.
That's actually in my head.
Thank you. Bye bye.
Thank you.
Okay, that was a deal, and if I'm honest, it was brilliant. I think I learned a lot, really. It must have been tough, you know? When he talks about that area up in Stockholm and getting chased with not tear gas, but pepper spray. That sounds quite terrible. And having these languages as well, talking like Urdu and everything like that. I really enjoyed that. I hope you did as well. Get on Adil Fakhi. I'm sure he wouldn't mind that. He's a wonderful guy. So find him on Facebook, etc. We do a football podcast together, which is very different to this, but if you like football, you can always listen to Swedish Football Mafia. So there we go. There's a cross pod plug. Now talking of, cross podders, here is the man that thinks he knows every Pokemon in the world. This is my little son. This is the interview this month with Frank. Now is the time, now is the time for Frank Pitcher.
It was, I'm just a kid.
You're just a kid?
Yeah, and I don't know why, but how many times do we have to do that?
Do what?
He always interview me. If that means that you just don't want it.
Move closer, please, if you're complaining.
If you want...
I'm interviewing.
You do it with me one time, but you do it every time it is this day. Because I didn't know what it is for day today.
It's December the 1st. And we're doing this podcast. You are on it because you're funny.
Yeah.
Are you funny at school? Do people go, oh, you're a funny person?
Someone says that I'm so crazy, so it calls me Bing Bing.
Bing Bing?
It's because he'll touch me.
What?
It means that you're so crazy, so you are like just really crazy.
Okay, you're not
you're
crazy.
You're really, really,
you're just
really
funny. Crazy. Talk more clearly, please.
Okay.
There's no need for that voice.
Okay.
That's better. So we're going away. We're going to Australia, New Zealand, Singapore, and Hong Kong.
But I didn't say there was a tiger. He didn't say right.
Okay. Are you looking forward to going over there and speaking? And you're going to have to be speaking a lot of engelska.
And don't say engelska. Say engelska.
Okay. Engelska.
Engelska.
Yeah, engelska.
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 We'll be speaking a lot of English over there, and that'll be fun, won't it? What are you looking forward to the most? Are you looking forward to meeting people, different cultures? There'll be no overalls, there'll be no slush, there'll be no snow, there'll be no speaking svensk, really? Apart from with me. Because we speak a lot. How do you think my svensk has been going? Do you think it gets better?
Yeah, I think it's like this. Not so good, but this one is top, but not so good.
Not so good.
Not like this.
Yeah.
I think thumbs up.
Yeah.
But not really thumbs up, more a bit slow.
I'm a bit slow.
I mean, like at you you're not getting so good, but you're pretty good at it.
I'm good at it now. Mm-hmm. What about the time when I read the Pippi Longstocking book to you? Shall I read some now?
Okay.
And tell me what happens.
Okay.
Hjälp! Hjälp! Jag kan inte simma.
Help.
Help. Lug. Lung. Bara lung. Lung, papa.
I know.
See? So you understand, don't you?
Yeah, but I'm going to tell you it's in English. Take it calm, papa.
Take it calm.
Papa. No, Dad.
Don't you say that to me. What are you saying take it calm for? I'm not getting angry. Oh, you meant the book.
Yeah.
Oh, that went well. And then he pulls him in and he goes, ah, yeah. Oh, hey, ha, ha.
Oh, hey,
hoo, ha, ha. That could be any language, couldn't it? So, do you want to wish them a Merry Christmas, everybody?
Merry Christmas.
Shall we sing a little Christmas song?
Okay.
What about Tip Top?
No, I don't want to sing.
Okay. What about wishing the world a Merry Christmas?
Merry Christmas.
Thank you. And when we're away, we're going to be sitting on the beach and we're going to be looking at the Swedish language, aren't we?
Yeah.
And you're going to really teach me. So I'm going to be not so good, but I'm going to be really good. Is that correct?
But if that's me, I thought that you mean that I was going to take a flag right there and I can look at it. Like look at Sweden, take a
Swedish flag.
Just...
Well, that would be fun. How do you feel about Papa being on SVT when we're away?
SVT play.
When we're away, how does that feel? January the 6th. Are you going to be proud of me or are you just...
Good.
Proud? Proud?
Yeah, good.
Cool. All right, mate. Well, thank you for coming along again. Again, you're a bundle of joy. Very thoughtful this month. You got any little tips? Pokemon tips? The Pokemon's been going well, isn't it?
Yeah. But... I'm going to tell you a bit about Jigglypuff.
Yep.
Jigglypuff, it can do a sleeping attack. So the Pokemon sleeps. And when it sleeps, he's the only one who can wake it and other Jigglypuffs.
Mm-hmm.
And... And on the last bit, he draws a little moustache.
Wow! Good story, man. Good story. What Pokemon would you like to catch if you could catch one?
The new one.
That Ditto.
Yeah, that Ditto.
That just pops up somewhere.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for that. It's not only been fun times with you and you dissing my svenska, but it has also been you giving a lesson on Pokemon. It's been absolutely fun. Thank you so much, Frank Pitcher. Hey, Dor. Merry Christmas. And I'll see you in Australia.
And bye-bye, Pokemon and people who ran over the world for trying to look at this.
Thank you.
And now it's quiet time. And I can turn off.
Can I?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
I'm sure.
Are you the boss, are you?
Who?
Okay.
You're the boss. I didn't look
at it. You told me you can turn it off now. You said you turn it off now. Turn it off.
Okay.
You are the boss. Are you my papa? Or am I your papa?
You're my papa.
Oh, thanks, man. Taxamicket.
Oh, don't get me started. Why, oh why, do you even do this?
Okay, here's my rant. I hope you sat down. I hope you're not in an office or in church with the headphones up, because I got a problem here. I got a problem with queuing, okay? I don't mind a queue. You know, if I have to get from there to there, I just pointed and realized that you wouldn't know what I'm pointing at. But if I have to get somewhere and I have to queue, yes. I mean, I've got a decision I've made with queuing. I won't queue into a nightclub. I won't even go to a nightclub. Let's not fool ourselves here. Red Bull's like the strongest drink I've ever tasted in like 15 years. So I don't see the point when you don't drink to go to a nightclub. People might go, it's full of joy. It's cool. It's for someone that doesn't drink. It can be kind of, how are you, man? You enjoying it? You know, it's not great. So the thing with queuing, what I had the other day, I went into Shell & Company product placement plug. I could have gone to Klaas Olsen or Technique Magazine it to balance it all up. But I went to Shell & Company, pulled one of those little tags, you know, the little kind of ticket number machines that Sweden is obsessed with. I think the prince has one of them, or the princess. She's in line. She's waiting in line to become the queen or the king. Every Swede has these kind of numbers. They come up. Your number comes up. I grab it. It's 26. The number up there is 25. I think that's fine. You know, I'm next. Comes up. Changes to 26. Guy comes to the counter. As I get there, an old man goes, nay, I'm 25. And I looked at him and I said, you're way older than 25. You look like 58, mate. That didn't go well. I didn't say it. I thought it. And he said, sorry, I didn't see it. Now, my thing is, you've missed your chance, mate. Okay? Do you know what I mean? You can't watch Bingo Lotto. You can't do the European lottery. And then at the end, go, sorry, I've got a ticket. The number was, yeah, I was going to do this. I know you've pulled 14 there and I've missed it, but yeah, Bingo Lotto, I had 14 here. So I kind of said, do you want to go on after me? Do you want to go on after me? As though he was doing a gig with me. I said, do you want to go after me? And he said, no, I'm 25, I'm before you. And even the guy from the Shell & Company, he gave me that look with his eyes of like, yeah, I get you, man. I understand you. It's become all aggressive. It's not your fault. You're number 26. This fool is 25 and he's missed his choice. He's missed his opportunity. And he shouldn't be allowed. So I kind of just got the anger, you know, that Swedish anger. And I think I picked up like one of those power bank chargers and I put it back in the bin. And I thought, fee fan, I am becoming Swedish. Talking of Swedish, Yule calendar, the obsession with that is wonderful. Love it. I love the way it's not really, kids don't seem to want to watch it. It's the adults. They're like, come on, Yule calendar's on, come on. Like, Papa, I just want to play. Nay, Yule calendar. Dragging them with their ear. Come here, watch it. So that's been fun. I also was in a shop in Umeå, and I apologise to the guy here if he's listening. Went into Pressbyrån. I had a headache, and I said to him, can I get Alvedon or Ipren? And he goes, which one do you want? And I said, which one do you think's better? I've got kind of a migraine. He said to me, I can't tell you because I'm not a pharmacist. I was like, okay, well, that's a bit weird, but fun. I said, I wasn't expecting you to be a pharmacist just working in Pressbyrån and, you know, sat there in a white uniform. And he said, no, I can't help you. It's against the law. I can't. I was like, okay, I'll take Alvedon then. And then as I got it, my, you know, that little moment when you, when words are starting to pour out, and I said to him, if this is the wrong one and I die, I will come back and haunt you. And he sort of gave me the look of, why did you say that, mate? And I felt, oh, why did I say that? And then he just said, Nesta, and took the next customer. So that was my little moment this week. I hope you enjoyed those. I don't know what they really were. I think they were rants. Well, that's it. That's my anger over. Okie dokie. This is the end of the podcast for this year, 2016. It's all finished. Thank you so much for listening. This is the fourth episode. The audience is a building. The listeners grow, both in height and in personality and in listenership. So thank you for that. I've told you about the live shows, haven't I? If not, I'm doing Australia, doing a show in Sydney, Australia. You have to go really high with their accent. Sydney, Australia. You can't even go down. Don't go down. I'm at the Comedy Store, and that's on the 8th and 9th of December. And January the 6th, we know, if you're in Sweden, where you'll be watching SVT1. But I'm doing a show in New Zealand, in Auckland, New Zealand, at the Classic. I am doing a headline spot, and then I'm also hosting the Late Show, so I'm going to be a busy man. So January the 6th and January the 7th, I'm in Auckland, New Zealand. And then I'm coming back to Svaria in about a week after that. But you people will all be just still glued to the TV watching the SVT special on loop. Don't forget, please, folks, please, please, please watch it. SVT 1, January the 6th, 22:30, 2017. Me. It's Christmas time. There's no need to be afraid. At Christmas time, we let in light and we banish it. And in our world of plenty, we can spread a smile of joy. Throw your arms around the world at Christmas time. But say a prayer and pray for the other world at Christmas time. It's hard, but when you're having fun in the world of and in the world of dreaded joy, well, tonight, thank God it's them instead of you. You, everyone with a chorus, and they won't be starring Africa this Christmas time. I was going to say snow, but it's not snow. Yeah, it's snow. There won't be snow at all at Christmas time. Ladies and gentlemen, have a brilliant, brilliant Christmas. I really, really hope you listened to the... I hope you didn't give up on that song, because I gave it some effort, and I did not write any lyrics down. I just thought I'd sing it. I was waiting for the Bono moment, and I think I screwed that up. So have a brilliant, brilliant Christmas. Happy New Year. Tip, top, tip, top, tippy, tippy, tip, top, tip, tip, tack. Tuxamicket, folks. Haydor, puss, and I'll talk to you in January. Take care. Bye-bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.